Another conversation from Loretta's front page. Conversations that need to be had and heard.
94.7 The Pulse. It's about 16 and a half degrees in Geelong, and I am still in the studio with the lovely Kim McDonald. Thanks for sticking around, Kim.
You're welcome.
And Kim, we have been joined by Chrissy Davies. And Chrissy, I'm excited to have you here because your bio says that you are the child charmer.
You got it.
I think there might be a few people saying, oh, excuse me?
I am the person that everybody wants to know, especially if you've got kids.
Yeah. Well, Kim and I have got kids. We're sort of getting into those sort of, you know, older teenage years. But you work with families, and we're going to have a chat today about how families can create new holiday traditions. And I had a quick chat to Kim about this before you came in, that really align more with who they want to be and the families they want to create. Before we do that, can I ask something? I'm guessing that when we unpack that topic about, you know, helping families create these new traditions, and I suppose it's about being able to reduce the stress and the drama that just absolutely ramps up this time of year. Because I noticed that you're all about empowering parents to create like a whole new generation of emotionally healthy families. I like all that. But can you unpack that a little bit for us? What do you mean by an emotionally healthy family? What does it look like or sound like or feel like to be part of that?
Thank you. And thanks for having me in. I'm so happy to be here sharing my thoughts on this. I'm a bit of a trailblazer in this area. I just love families to think outside the box in terms of creating a life that feels good for them, mm-hmm. that's aligned with their values, the life that they want to live, that, you know, really supports their kids. And a really big part of my work centres around empowering and educating families and teachers about how to understand children's behaviour. So if we dig a little bit deeper, it always comes back to the brain and the emotions that our children are experiencing. Sometimes we call those the stress responses from our kids. And so if we are a family that embraces emotions and lives and breathes sharing a range of emotions, talking about our emotions, and then teaching our children how to link that back to their own behaviour, that is when they really start to understand how relationships work and their place in the universe.
I love that. So an emotionally healthy family is one that can express emotions, maybe get a bit cross, maybe then understand that, oh, I felt something there, have conversations with kids. Do you know, something that my husband and myself used to do is that we decided that we wouldn't have big conversations in front of the kids. We'd take ourselves off to the bedroom, have a nut out what we wanted to do, and then come back and present that to the kids as, this is what Dad and I have discussed. And I said to Matt, I think we're doing a disservice to the kids. They don't get to see the process of how we negotiate together.
And I think what you'll find, Loretta, too, is that, you know, we as modern day parents, we're learning so much more about neuroscience, about how children's brains operate, you know, cognitively what they can actually onboard. And I actually love part of what you said there, because there are certainly things in life that we should discuss away from our children.
Okay.
You know what I mean? As parents, I think modern day parents, we are listening more and more to our children. We're understanding that if we listen to what they've got to say, you know, share their thoughts and ideas and incorporate that into our own family team or environment, they actually help happier in themselves, which then means we get less challenging behaviour from them, right? I don't know about you, but I was raised in the generation of children are seen and not heard.
Absolutely.
And it's not like that anymore. And I think one of the challenges that comes with that is when we give our children more of a platform, boy, do they have a lot to say. And the irony of that is that we're creating these beautiful little humans who've got these amazing thoughts and ideas about how they would like their own life to go, but they don't have the cognitive ability yet to understand all the ramifications of all of those things, right? And so as adults, we can be open to hearing some of those things, but ultimately it's still up to us to instill those good boundaries and, you know, expectations around certain things that they can't have.
I like that. I know I've been in education and I remember speaking to the school principal after I'd left being a teacher, and she said, our preps are coming in and they're not told no. And it's really challenging because now they're going to be in a classroom with 20, 25 other people. They can't all have a turn at the same time. A teacher's having to say, wait. And she said she feels like parents have gone too far in a direction of so empowering children that there's always a negotiation that has to be had.
Absolutely. And I would agree. We want to give children that sense of agency and autonomy, but it also has to be, like I said, in their realm of cognitive understanding. So, for example, things around safety or money. Let's see, we're going to be talking about Christmas. Mm, yeah. You know, like things like that, that children really can't have full cognitive understanding about how all the ins and outs about how it works. We, as the role models and the parents, I suppose, with a little bit more lived experience and, you know, a little bit more life behind us, you know, of understanding how things work, we can still share those things with our kids, but ultimately we have sort of have the final say around, you know, some of those things. But you're right, we have it's a really fine line and balance, isn't it, between giving them that autonomy, but then also teaching them that there are things that we will say no to. And you don't have to like that, and that's okay, but we'll be here to hold that space and support you through those big feelings when you're disappointed or, you know, feel like it's not fair.
That's right. Because that's life.
It is.
For sure.
It really is.
For sure.
I also love that, you know, you're a passionate advocate for understanding differently wired children. And so differently wired is your phrase. Are we talking about neurodiverse children? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a loud and proud ADHD family, living and breathing the neurodivergent life. And I feel like so much of that, a part of what the work that I do, obviously empowering families as well, is to really lean into their authenticity and understanding who they are and the way that their brains work, that we're all different and that's okay. But I think a lot of what we are up against, you know, in society is that the world typically is created for neurotypical people.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. So we've got to find our own really beautiful way of creating a life that works for our kids and leaning into that radical acceptance, I suppose, because a big challenge that I see within families is the societal expectation of us expecting our kids to be a certain way. And when they can't live up to that, that's when we see that stress response or they get really overwhelmed, or what we actually see then is challenging behaviour, you know, opposition, rudeness, sometimes aggression, you know, pushback, all those sorts of things that children show us through their behaviour, which really all comes from that feeling, that emotion that we touched on in the beginning.
Mm. I suppose in this time of year, we start to gather in different groups. So we might have Auntie May or Auntie Dora, we spoke about her before, who we only see once a year, who has expectations about, you know, how Johnny and Sarah and Francis should all behave. And us as parents, and we take our children into these different situations. So let's have this conversation about what can we do to tweak and change so that we're actually, as you said earlier, really be honouring who we are as a family, because for the other 11 months of the year, we maybe listen to our kids, we maybe make allowances because of, you know, what they're dealing with. But for some reason in December, it all goes back to the strict box.
Absolutely.
You know?
But it comes back to generational programming, right?
Yeah.
You know, even as I was driving here, I was thinking, you know, all the rules around Christmas. You can't put your Christmas tree up until the 1st of December. You must open your Christmas presents on Christmas Day. You know, you have to have a hot,
yes,
normally cold by the time it's all put out, you know, roast lunch. And like all of these things that we've been told for generation is what Christmas is. And this is, you know, being a thought leader, I suppose, and somebody who really encourages families to go against what we've always been told, especially if it doesn't work for our kids, takes courage.
It really does. Yeah, exactly.
And change is hard for some people, you know, and I think just because we've done things the same way for 11 years doesn't mean that on the 12th year we can't make a subtle change. And I think that's the thing that I really would love people to understand, is that change can be just really subtle little things. And as you get more confident, you start ramping them up. You know what I mean?
So what are some of those examples of those, just the little things that maybe we can be tweaking, which means more harmony?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that we did last year, which was transformational for our family, was we opened presents each day in the lead up to Christmas. Shock horror! It was amazing, you know, because a lot of what actually happens is, like you said, we put our kids in this really overwhelming, overstimulating environment with all these people that they possibly only see once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And there's all these social rules and expectations that aren't their normal everyday way of life. And then we wonder why.
We have the meltdown.
Absolutely. Or they're like, I didn't want this for Christmas. And then everybody thinks, oh, how rude. Do you know what I mean? But what we did to alleviate that stress for our kids, and we'll be doing it again this year, is we let them open some presents. They were all under the tree, and each night we sat down as a family and we opened some together. And so on Christmas Day, there wasn't just this bundle of wrapping paper everywhere with 20 presents that they didn't even know who they'd come from.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, part of a value that's really important for my husband and I is about teaching our children gratitude. You know what I mean? And one of those, the other things that comes up commonly through the families that I work with is that we actually choose to give our children less. And when we express that to family members, you know, some aunties and uncles say, but this is a joy for me. I love buying presents for your kids because it's about them. Mm. You know what I mean? And so that's not actually about what we believe is best for our kids or the way that we want to live our life, you know? And so those conversations can be quite difficult to navigate with family members.
Okay, so maybe opening a few presents before Christmas. What else can we – I took a sneak peek at these. I really like this one, booking your own accommodation instead of staying with the family. And for some maybe matriarchs of the family, that can be very confronting. You mean you're not staying here under the roof and whatever. But I can see that would be such a bonus for a family.
Oh, honestly, it is life-changing. And, let's acknowledge that – you know, if it's in with your financial means to be able to do that. A lot of people say to me, oh, but it saves us money staying with family. But it's like, but you've almost got to think of that. I think of that money as an investment in your mental health.
Exactly. Mm.
When your kids had enough and you want to take a break, you can just say, hey, we're going back to the apartment for a couple of hours and then bring them back. Do you know what I mean? This year, we're waking up in our caravan. Which my kids are so excited about.
I bet they would be.
But, of course, that will probably bring its own challenges. But I think, you know, that's what I mean about starting new traditions. It's like it's not an insult to family members to say we value our own space and this is what our family needs.
That's exactly right. Chrissy, where can we find more? Because I reckon you're a treasure trove full of great ideas. Where can we find more? I think you've got a podcast. Is that right?
It's in the works, yes.
Okay,
it is in the works. I want to take over your airwaves, Loretta. But
it's a work. There's enough room for everybody.
Absolutely. So the core of my work centres around, I do a lot of professional development with educators as well, talking about how we can see the child, not the behaviour, do lots of work with families as well about empowering them. And my website, which is www.chaostocalmconsultancy.com, which I've got obviously a plethora of courses and online resources that people can access as well.
Amazing.
Kim's just been sitting there going, uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Note to self.
And I think, Kim, even though our kids are older and, you know, in the teenage years, there are absolutely things that we could be adopting and shifting now. It's
absolutely.
Not too late.
It's still relevant.
Yeah, it's never too late to create change, right? Yep.
And I know for our kids, they requested a number of years ago, can we just wake up in our own beds? They didn't want to be in Melbourne at, you know, someone else's house, waking up and having to share the Christmas morning space. So we honoured that. And one year we hosted lunch for Christmas for Matt's side of the family. So it's about, you know, his five siblings and all the kids. And we said, we're doing lunch, but it starts at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. and we'll be on the beach until about 3. So you can come for a champagne. It's going to be late. So have a really big brekkie and then we'll go from 4 p.m. And our kids were like punching the sky. They were so happy.
And I think, too, just stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. You know, if you don't want to have the Santa photo, don't have the Santa photo. Mm. If you don't want to do bonbons on the Christmas table, don't do bonbons on the Christmas table just because everybody has been doing that for generations. Do you know what I mean? There are so many beautiful things that you can create for yourself, for your kids. I love that beach on the Christmas. Have a barbecue or have a champagne breakfast instead, you know, like – kids are really at their best in the morning, aren't they?
Oh, they really are.
Let's face it. By 12 o'clock, they're done.
Yep. Actually, I remember one year I did tacos for lunch. All the adults had traditional roast, but my kids hate roast. Like they never enjoyed Christmas lunch because there was always meat they didn't like and they couldn't chew.
Yep.
So I did tacos and smashed up ice cream and lollies instead of pudding because they didn't like pudding either.
Mm.
It was so much fun and they loved it and still talk about it.
The Christmas pudding as well is such an old tradition, isn't it? And we created a new you know, wave of tradition, I suppose, with that, where my husband and I had a pavlova making competition every year. And then then the kids started getting involved in it as well. And then there was another dessert for the kids that was a bit more child friendly, you know, than the old pudding with the coin in it. It's just those little things that we can start introducing, I think, especially for the older generation that, you know, have been doing things a certain way for such a long time. Learning all about neurodivergence is like learning a whole new language for them as well, you know, and we want to bring them into our life in a really positive, supportive way, whilst also honouring some of the things that are important to them.
I love that. And I think that's where we'll leave this conversation today. Chrissy, will you come back again? That was really great. Excellent, excellent. I always ask very interested people if I can have them back again, because I think that the conversation was only just kicking off.
For sure.
And I'm sure there's lots of other things that you could share with us. Chrissy Davies from Chaos to Calm, thanks so much.